Hello, hello.
There it comes. All right, we're good. So my name is David. For those of you who are here for the first time, have you been involved in meditation before? Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. So we'll start back to square one. But so this is just meditation 101 session, and this will be the fourth class. We're having five classes, another one next Tuesday. And then after that, they'll start Buddhism in a nutshell. If you're interested, that's a very good program, too. It's a good 5 weeks to skim the surface. They'll talk about this and some of the other things that are involved in Buddhism. So they alternate this class and that class on a regular basis. And then there's also Discovering Buddhism, if you're ever interested in that. And that's a 2-year, sounds like quite a commitment, but it's about 5 week sessions on Monday nights. But the whole thing goes for 2 years, and they go a little bit more in depth. So, and you don't, you know, you can come and go kind of thing. But it's another good way to kind of get introduced to the center and Buddhism as a whole. So, all right, we're going to start out with just doing a little bit of brief meditation here, and we'll set our motivation. We'll do the 9-round breathing. Y'all remember that from before? We pinch the left nostril closed, breathe in through the right, and then exhale through the left, in through the right, out to the left, and then we'll do the opposite, in through the left, out through the right. Do that 3 times, and then in and out through both nostrils 3 times. And then you can just do whatever meditation. Have people been doing these at home a little bit, kind of maybe? Whatever your preference is, if it's just counting your breathing, if it's focusing on your breathing, we did a mind like the sky, mind like the ocean, whatever you want to do, we'll just sit for a little while with that, okay? And then try to set your motivation when we get started. You know, remember that you're here. There are other things you could have done tonight. You chose to come here. Decide why you've come and what your motivation's for. Do the meditation. And then at the end, we'll do just a little bit of a dedication just to kind of seal it. We'll talk more about that aspect of the practice this evening. So we're going to get, if you're on the floor, sit comfortably on your zafu, hips higher than your knees if you can. If you're in a chair, feet flat on the floor, back straight, stacked up like a stack of coins. If you're in a chair, try not to lean against the backrest. The top of your head pulled up a little bit, kind of like it's hanging from a string. That'll put your jaw forward. Your hands either on your knees or in a traditional pose, right hand in the left with the thumbs touching. And then just allow your arms to kind of sit so a little air circulates. The tongue is at the roof of your mouth behind your front teeth, and then your eyes either closed or partially open, just letting a little bit of light in. And at first we'll just kind of settle our mind. And again, remind yourself you could have done other things tonight. You chose to come here. That in and of itself makes it worthwhile. So now that you're here, set the motivation to really try to work at doing the meditation. And then we'll do 9-round breathing with your left hand. Seal off your left nostril. Breathe in through your right and out through your left. Imagine pure light going in when you inhale, dark negativities, illness, whatever's bothering you coming out like soot when you exhale. Then switch sides. Plug your right side into the left. and in and out through both. And then just either count your breathing, focus on your breath, or do one of the other meditations we talked about earlier. Okay. How did everybody do with that? Mind drift? To bring it back? Able to bring it back on task? How's everybody's practice at home going? Are we doing pretty good? Are we able to spend some time working on this, or it's hard to find a time? What are some of the obstacles you might be coming across? Is everything perfectly clear? Any questions? It's hard to make the time, okay. How many of you are having trouble with making the time to do this? Okay. So what makes it hard? I know what makes it hard for me, but it's not right. Yeah. Okay. Is that the trouble? Did you all hear what he said? It's hard to go from 60 miles an hour to zero and let go. Is that the trouble everybody has? Is it they may have trouble finding time, just not finding a good time to do it? Or do you recognize that you're struggling? That you want to, but you just can't quite get there or something. Other obstacles? Yes?
Sometimes, at least meditation is because there's so many to learning more about it. There's so many different meditations that you can do. I'm like, well, what best or is there a best one?
Yeah. Anybody else that come up wondering which ones to do or, okay. Yeah. Experiment around a little bit and try.
I've been coming on Monday and that's an exception practice now.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah,
it's a little harder. I found it a little harder to kind of embrace some of the rituals that went along with it. And that's just a matter of time. There's not a strong push to do that, you know, so take it as it comes. Most of the rituals go back to supporting why we're doing this, so that the whole purpose is kind of to point our mind in this direction and kind of keep pushing along. So a lot of the rituals are, you know, setting that intention and really trying to focus on it and push along. But again, that'll take time. I think as we begin, you know, finding the time to do it, trying to decide what we're doing, we're still kind of jumping around a little bit, and it is a little hard to maybe to embrace some of the rituals. And then on the other hand, there's people that do real well with rituals more so than they can do with some of the meditations too. And if that can be the path for you, that's good too. But as far as picking which meditations, I think like Dave said, I would experiment a little bit. Sometimes it's good to practice the same one for maybe a week or something like that. Or at least a few days to give it a chance to really kind of work in. Because what we're doing, you know, on a scientific basis, we're creating some neurological pathways in our brain, in our neurological system that aren't familiar with it. You know, we're not familiar with. And it takes some time to kind of wear those tracks. There's some theory that goes along with that I think I might have talked about. The more you kind of begin using some of these mental reflections, the easier it becomes, right? As we practice it, it becomes easier and easier and easier. So, it's just a matter of kind of sitting yourself down, picking one, and I would stick with it for a few days to see how that works. I mean, that might be an option, and see if you can't become more and more comfortable with it. Some of the visualizations, do we do that before? Do we do any visualization meditations? Okay, the white light is one. There's one of the handouts, I think it's number 10, purification with light meditation. It's just that focus on breathing in pure light and exhaling the negativities and impurities. And if we can just kind of focus on that visualization while you do it for the whole time, it'll create a sensation that is very helpful. Okay. So visualizations are a good one to kind of work on. And some people do better with those too than maybe just the focus meditation. So play around with that. We'll do an analytical one here this evening that may be beneficial too. And you can start out with something like that. So the purpose is to train our brains and become familiar with what's going on in our mind, and then to be able to develop the ability to control our minds, really. So it's just going to take practice, and it does take discipline. It's like any other form of exercise. It's easy to get busy and just not be able to find the time to do it, but you really have to kind of force yourself. Even if it's just a small amount, 2 minutes, And even if you're going from 60 to zero, the idea that we've recognized that our mind has been going 60 and we're trying to get it to go to zero, that in and of itself is a big accomplishment. Normally when it goes 60, we don't realize that it's doing that. We just think that's life as usual. But to be able to control that, is quite an accomplishment. So that's really the goal. So it's not going to be easy. Just have to kind of keep plugging away. We've talked before, if you can set up a time, a specific time, what times work out best for most people? Or what, with the assumption that you're not able to meditate, what times would work out best for most people, do you think? Morning? Okay. I had someone that had pretty good luck when they'd get home from work. They would pull in their driveway, and they would just, before they go in the house, they'd take 5 minutes, or something like that. It's nice to be able to have a specific spot at home that you can kind of set and begin developing your practice around. But, do whatever you can. Do whatever you can. Other things that came up, questions, obstacles, issues?
Can you talk about dedication? Is that a bookend?
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and that's what we're actually going to talk about. So there's four parts. And the handout, one of the handouts, is setting up the meditation session in four parts. So the first part is, you kind of sit and you calm your mind a little bit. Find your location, if you can, that you can sit at. And is, take a few minutes, like we do here, to kind of calm our mind down a little bit. Let the sediment kind of settle a little. Okay, and if you can do the 9-round breathing or something like that, that's good. And then remind yourself, set your motivation. All right, I've taken out 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever it is. I'm going to sit here and just try to relax, try to get my mind at zero if I can. Okay, and for 3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever I decide, I'm going to let go of my to-do list. I'm not going to think about other things as they come up. And I will, right? But I'm going to try not to, and let go of those as they crop up, and just try to try to pay attention to my mind. So we kind of set your dedication, or set your motivation for doing that. Do your meditation for whatever length of time you decide. Do you have timers, or have are you just trying to go by, oh, that seems like that's a few minutes or something? Oh, wow. The thought, you think there's a barrier there.
I mean, I did wonder how long has it been. But I was shocked. That's a lot of
time. Oh, wow, that's good. That's really good. Yeah. And there's little apps. Everybody find, did I talk about that? There's little mindfulness apps or whatever, little freebie things. You can set it for 5 minutes, six, whatever time you want it. It'll ding to start and it'll ding to end, you know? And just give yourself, like we do here, you just make yourself sit till I ring the bell, right? And then your mind goes all over the place while you're sitting there. But just try to say, all right, I'm going to let go of that, let go of that. And then when the bell rings, all right, before you get up, you dedicate that time. So you kind of, it's a sealing, it's kind of the sealing the deal, right? You seal and direct that energy that you expended on doing that meditation towards a positive kind of thing. So we've made, you know, it's bookends, like you said, right? We've started, we've done it, and when we end, we say, all right, we did it. I did my exercise, my 3 minutes or 5 minutes of exercise. Then go back to whatever it is you're doing. But if you do that dedication at the end, you kind of put a bookend on the end of it and close that off. And then that sets that energy up for a positive experiences. Does that make sense? It sounds kind of vague, but that's kind of the purpose. So it's like, you know, setting the dye in the cloth, so to speak. You kind of lock it in there. And then that, again, that gives that time, that makes it specific. You had a motivation for doing it, and you had a dedication for doing it. And you can dedicate that. Think about, you know, Why are you guys even coming here? Let me ask that question. What is it that you seek in coming here? I know we went through that the first night. What is it we wanted to get out of this? And I had a lot of people say peace of mind, maybe more relaxed. I can't remember what some of the other things were. Is that pretty much it? Or were there other things? Yes.
Education.
To learn what this is about. Okay. Other things, anger, frustration, or something that may come up. So whatever you decide you're going to do, and education is to learn about yourself. Okay, about the practice. Okay, and that term GOM, which is meditation, means familiarization with mind, my own mind, right? We're familiar with everything out here, so we think, but it's our own minds we're trying to better understand. So we do it with that intention, we set that motivation, and I think most people, myself, I hope that it helps me as an individual, and in turn, helps the people I'm around, you know? That's pretty altruistic, and that's a good motivation and good dedication, you know, to make things better for my family and my friends and whatnot. I'll veer off here for a second. We were doing this in a corporate setting, and we had a guy that was going with us for a number of weeks, and it was funny. He said, you know, he went to a drive-thru with his kids, a McDonald's drive-thru, and he says these drive-thrus always set him off. He starts screaming. He gets angry from the get-go. And he decided he was not going to. He was going to let go of that and just be in the moment of sitting in line at this drive-thru. And he didn't give the lady a hard time like he normally did. And it threw his kids off. He said, Dad, what's the matter? You're not acting like yourself. You know, aren't you going to yell at her? And you know, it was kind of a joke, but he realized he had set an example for his kids that bothered him when he had a chance to look back. You know, they just always thought he was going to be angry at these things. And he didn't feel good about that, but he felt good about the fact that he recognized that occurred, and he could change that now. So that became a driving force for him to kind of continue on. But that was a realization for him that this had made a difference with him. So, you know, if you can help the people around you through changing your attitude, then that's a good rationale too. So we set that motivation. We do whatever length of time we decide we're going to do. And during that time, we let go of all the other things that may come up. And then at the end of that time, we seal it and we say, you know, I did this for this reason. And then we can go back to whatever it is we normally do. And slowly and gradually, but most certainly, that will begin to creep into everything you do during the day. And you'll begin to look forward to that time when I can stop going 60 miles an hour, focus my attention, explore my mind a little bit, and then go on. And that time, that space that you create will begin to expand. Hopefully to the point where it just encompasses your entire day. You know, and that's a long way for most of us. But that's kind of the goal as we end up developing our minds like that. We can talk about reframing, and I think I might have talked about that a little bit before when we looked at anger situations, things that made us mad, and how we could look at that differently, you know, and begin to readjust our view of things. And we start playing around with things like that. When you start realizing that we look at the world through a certain lens, and I can change that lens. You know, that lens has been brought about through my personal history and the context in which I grew up. And I can change that. And as I change that, the world around me begins to change too. It's a gradual process. But that becomes a huge benefit of doing this too. So, all right, I'm sorry, I've kind of blathered for a little while here. What other obstacles or issues or things have come up that people have had trouble with? Are you, yes, sir. Yeah, that could be. Yeah, or you mean as opposed to saying it out loud?
Right. So you don't play it out loud?
No, you don't have to. It's an internal thing that we're trying to do. For some people to be able to say it, to verbalize it, helps them. I don't know. Chris, you got anything to say on that? Yeah, does it have to be out loud? I don't think so. No. Anybody else hear anything otherwise? It's just an internal thing. It's my understanding. You know, some of the mantras and prayers are said out loud. They have to be said out loud, and I don't fully understand that. But it really is to kind of get your mind, direct your mind, do what it is you're going to do, and then...
Yeah, well, in Tibetan Buddhism, some of the mantras, they have certain sounds.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds kind of space agey, or, you know. But when you say them in Tibetan or Sanskrit, the actual sounds can actually help your mind, or they're supposed to help your mind. But I don't know if there's any carryover that to English or whatever language you're saying. But things like intention, that's... Yeah, I haven't ever heard that you need to say that out loud. It's more like just a, you know, setting your why you're doing this, you know, and then trying to do it. And
yeah,
then at the end, you know, it kind of goes along exactly with the dedication. You know, look, I set aside this time. I've actually done something. I benefited myself. Even in the littlest bit, you got to realize that too. Even if it wasn't a good meditation session, just the fact that you sat there and you kind of thought, if I do this, I'm going to get better, that's so big right there. you know, and so anything you get past that is bonus, but, you know, and then you, dedications, that's something I've heard that for a long time we were talking about, or on Sunday morning programs, we were like, dedicate the energy, or not Sunday morning, but other times, we dedicate the energy to helping other people. And somebody made this comment about, well, how can we do that? You know, you can only change your own mind. And then one of the instructors said, yes, you're right. The way to really look at it is, it's just you're sealing it. And what he means by that is you're thinking about it again. It kind of ties in with karma big time, because the more you do things, the more that you'll experience the same thing in the future. So,
and I think, you know, I'm sorry.
No,
and it becomes, you know, becomes a habit of mind. So this time, this, what I'm going to do with my mind now, you know, I'm going to think about it, I'm going to do it, then I'm going to think about why I did it. That just reinforces the habit, which is what we're trying to do. We're trying to replace bad habits with good habits, really. And those habits are mental thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and projections that we put out on the world. And we can change those. It just takes a long time, and we have to plug away at it. So, other things, other issues or concerns? Are you able to find a spot, or is that a hard thing to do too, is find a place, a quiet place at home? Okay. Yeah, it takes a little time. Everybody's going to have to kind of just work with that a little bit, but it's real important that you try to find some. So, we're going to do now is we're going to break out into small groups and have some discussion on. So has everybody been coming for most of the sessions, right? And at least we're trying to do some meditations at home. I want you to kind of talk about what are some of the benefits that you've seen from doing this over the last 4 weeks. Good luck with that. So, all right, you can get little groups of 2, 3, or 4, whatever you want to do. There's not a whole lot of us here tonight, but let's sit for just a few minutes and talk about some of the benefits that you might have seen gradually as we've been doing this. Okay. So anybody have anything they want to share? Any insights? What kind of things were discussed? Anything?
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, one of the things that we were kind of curious about when we were discussing things was the concept of the dedication of the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Where can you go with that? I mean, do you think about a problem that you're currently having and analyze that problem?
So at the end of the meditation, you mean?
No, before you even start.
The motivation.
Yeah.
That can happen. You can do that with the intention of setting, you know, trying to solve some problem or change. Remember last time we talked about changing the negative thing into a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can use that for that purpose. You can use it just to as an opportunity to just practice calming your mind and focusing your mind. There's a number of different things that you can set up that meditation practice for. And we've talked about different ones. So it's just a matter of choice. You know, and if you're struggling with something at the beginning, I would work on just just do the counting the breath or letting go, all right? As things arise, let them go. Remember we talked, there were a couple of main types of meditation. The one is to develop focus and a mindfulness kind of approach, and then an analytical meditation as we kind of build our ability to focus. We'll do an analytical meditation here in a few minutes.
Okay.
So either of those is okay.
Okay.
I think at this point, if you're just starting out, building focus and concentration is important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then so set your motivation
for that.
You know, to do that, to build that up. And recognize that you're going to get frustrated because you're not going to do very good at it, but the fact that you realize that you're not doing very good at it is the practice.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You have to first recognize, I'm not able to do this. And that's huge. Most people don't even think about doing this. But to recognize that you're not able to do this is a big step. Okay? Or that it's difficult to do. Or it's a challenge. Or I was only able to count 12 breaths and I lost, my mind wandered, you know? That'll grow. Or I could only sit for 5 minutes. I can't get past 5 minutes. And then next thing you know, you're at 15. So I probably have not answered your question at all, have I?
No. I think you have. I mean, you've suggested that we need to start with the basics.
Yeah, start with the basics.
We need to empty the brain and focus, and then maybe move on to the more analytical type meditations later.
Yeah, and the trouble with, I think, doing analytical, some, you know, problem solving, especially if you're looking at reframing. We talked about that last week, changing the negative into the positive. You know, we do a good job if something negative happens to us that makes us irritated or angry. We play that tape over and over again. We relive that, right? I mean, it happens like that, but we just keep going through it. And what I should have said, or what I'm going to do the next time, or whatever it is. And so we meditate in a negative way. And if, you know, I just caution you not to spend, don't sit on your pillow or sit as an opportunity to stew on something.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Don't make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to help your mind, not to reinforce. You know, what was the saying? When we get into a confrontation with somebody, we have to decide whether we want to be happy or we want to be right. And most of the time our mind, you know, we're hardwired to want to be right. We got to win. It's a confrontation and the goal is to win and to prove that person that I'm right. And they're trying just as hard to prove that they're right. So if we play that record over and over again, we just reinforce that. And the idea is to stop that record and to try to go for the happy. Happy feels a whole lot better than being right, okay? You can be right, and the other person will never know it, and that's okay, too. You don't have to convince them. But. So I would work, if you're struggling, just try to work on counting the breath or the mind, you know, the open mind. And again, we'll do one tonight, something along that line you might be able to practice with. But don't try to relive something again. If you turn it around and start playing that positive record in your head, then that's a good thing.
Okay.
And then the dedication thing again, I know that sounds kind of vague. I read something here in the notes I thought was pretty good. You know, if you're working on a Word document or something on a computer and you're going to get up and go to lunch, you hit the save button, right? So the dedication is like hitting the save button. You know, you seal it. You make sure that you've closed that up and it'll be there when you get started the next time. Okay, I thought that was a pretty good little analogy. So.
And dedicating that,
and
dedicating that and mentally, just not even verbally saying anything or trying to do a dedication, just bowing and just showing that respect and saying and kind of saving it that way. Maybe you can build yourself up until you get to those rituals where you're dedicating and doing the ritual prayers. You can kind of, like your meditation practice, you build up the dedication can also be built up in that way.
Yeah, I think that's fine, you know. If that works out for you, you know. And if it doesn't, you know, that's fine too. Just the idea is just to close the session then when you're done. And dedicate it. You could dedicate it to somebody or to people and stuff too. As altruistic as you can get, that's always good. That's always good. There's a saying, and this is kind of a basis in Buddhism. Let's see if I got it. Whatever joy there is in the world comes from the desiring of other people to be happy. And all of our misery comes from our desire for our own happiness. You know? We try to focus on me, that's where all the misery comes. If I focus on others, that's where all happiness comes from. It's pretty heavy, but there's a lot to that if you can kind of get into that a little bit. Other questions or other things that came up in your discussions? Yes.
In one of the books that I was reading about Siddhartha's path to enlightenment, they would talk about, you know, yeah, and he went and did walking meditation. So what does walking meditation mean?
So we talked about being mindful, like when you drive, okay, being just focused on the act, that mindfulness. And I might be getting this wrong, but I've done some walking meditation, and you walk real slow, and you become acutely aware of lifting your foot up and putting it down, and you feel the ground under your foot. So in my experience, it's been a very mindful, focused meditation on the actual walking itself. Okay.
I've done it. You synchronize your breath with your step.
Okay. Okay.
So it's another form of focused meditation, though. Another mm-hmm. And another, perhaps another mechanism to try if just sitting here and...
I use it. Not recently. I used
to. Yeah.
I like it. It's a very focused type of meditation where you get to kind of move around as well.
Right.
Yeah, it's a movement meditation. And they do those on Sunday morning, I think. They do sitting meditation, and they do some walking meditation, and they do some more sitting meditation. And they walk slowly around.
I've been here Sunday morning.
And they've done it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
TikTok.com does the walking meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've incorporated it within that
Sunday morning
practice, too. Okay. So it's a focused meditation. You know, you can meditate. Ideally, you're meditating on everything you do, right? That gets scary. We think, you know, I remember somebody saying, do you really want the guy driving next to you meditating? You know, we think, no. But then, you know, last week I said, Kabat-Zinn said, you know, we have two choices. We're either practicing mindfulness or mindlessness. Those are the only two options we have. Most of the time we're practicing mindlessness. So I'd really rather have the person driving next to me being mindful. Chris was talking about that this afternoon, where you realize, you know, we're out here driving around these things. We need to be very focused on what we're doing. That's mindfulness practice, you know, as opposed to thinking about, you know, as opposed to me getting here and not even remembering exactly how I got here. I just showed up in the parking lot. So we should be mindful on everything that we do. Other questions or comments about your discussion groups? Is that helpful? You only got one more session. I mean, how much? We'll do it again. All right, let me put this right here. And we're going to do, can you all see that table? Can you all see that? Water. Huh? It is? Yeah. It's tap water. No, I've got a little bit of debris in there. Just a little bit, so. All right, so we're going to do an analytical meditation. So I want everybody to get comfortable like you would normally do a meditation. You might all, I don't know, when I grew up, my parents used to always, if I didn't want to finish eating, they'd say, think of the starving children in some country, wherever they were starving at the time. You know, this was their goal, was to get me to think about it, but I never did. So we'll kind of think about that tonight. So get yourself comfortable in your chair, back straight, hands in whatever position feels good, in your lap, on your knees, top of your head up, chin down, tongue at the roof of your mouth. You can look at that water on occasionally, or at least get that visualization in your mind if you want to, and then close your eyes, or if you need to keep looking at it for a little bit, that's fine too. We'll take a few breaths in and out, kind of let our mind set a little bit. And we'll focus on doing the next meditation, you know, to make ourselves better people, help the people around us. We'll try to spend some time thinking about reality. We spend most of our lives trying to get ahead, whatever that means. Work a little harder, earn a little bit more, get a promotion, whatever. Now imagine that you're living in a country in Africa. And you get up early in the morning, along with a number of other people in your village, mostly women and children, and you start hiking. You're carrying empty containers with you, big buckets and jugs. And you're going to walk for a few hours. It's still cool when you start, but it starts to get pretty warm after an hour or so. And the sun gets hot. And you come to this clearing. And there's a hole in the ground, and we call it a well. And there's animals there that run away. And then the children climb down the banks and start scooping up this horrible-looking water. The water is hot because it's been in the sun. There's animal excrement. Animals have been drinking out of it. There's bugs. And we scoop up the water on the top and hand it up to people on the side in these big buckets. We may even stop to drink some. Then you start walking back towards your village, carrying these buckets of water that may weigh 40 pounds, 50 pounds each. Some people have two of the buckets on either end of a stick across their back. Some people have them balanced on their head. We start the long hike back. It's very hot now. We get back to the village. People have been waiting for us. And this is our drinking water and our cooking water. And again, the water is hot, filthy. People get sick and parasites from it. But that's our water. And we're perfectly happy with that. We cook with it and drink it. We know tomorrow we have to do the same thing or the day after if we've gotten enough for 2 days. And we do this every day. Rain or shine. There is no opportunity for education, again, particularly for the women and children, because there's not enough time in a day to get water and to learn. Now, here we are back in Raleigh, North Carolina. We've all gone to school, have all sorts of things available. If we get thirsty and we're desperate, we walk over to the big metal box on the wall and push the button and get cold, pure water out of it. At least pure by the standards of most of the people in the world. For many of us, that's not good enough. We need to buy bottled water, filtered water. The water we use to flush our toilet, or to spray on the driveway to clean it off, is much cleaner than what these people drink. And yet still we're not satisfied. There's got to be better. Or more. Just let your mind rest on that. Think about the other people in the world, what they have and what we have. Thank you. allow your mind to develop a sense of deep gratitude for what we have. For all the things you have available and opportunities you have. And with a sense of gratitude, begin focusing on your breathing again. As you inhale, picture the pure light going in. That sense of gratitude. And as you exhale, picture the negativities, all your harsh feelings, leaving your body again like soot and going out into space. Inhale, a sense of gratitude and compassion. And exhale all the negativities, greed, jealousy. Okay, were you able to kind of drill in on the water? What were your feelings about that? Any thoughts? Do you ever think about that kind of stuff? to that, I mean, drill in on that? Were you able to, you know, imagine what it's like to walk in the sun and come into this thing, this well? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Right. No. Yeah. Oh, good. Those were supposed to be two separate meditations, and I thought I wasn't going to have time to break and do it. I'll just carry it over to the next one. But that's part of it. You know, if you can do something and drill your mind in on what would that be like and sense the feelings that go along with that. Yeah.
Sorry, and to be able to be right here in this Raleigh, North Carolina, in this state, and be able to be practicing here and having that those resources that are clean for us over having being over in Africa where they don't have clean water even, let alone the ability to learn and grow and have the resources to for education. And
right.
So I felt kind of a feeling of really good fortune. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's been a lot of research that shows that doing gratitude journals, if I don't know if anybody's ever done that, is just think, write down at night three things that you're grateful for. I mean, it could be anything. I'm grateful that I've got my health, or I'm grateful that I have water or electricity or whatever it is. And as you begin to work that aspect of your mind, you begin to develop a sense of gratitude for all sorts of things that we just take for granted, you know, instead of always trying to find the next thing, the next big thing out there. We don't stop and really reflect on how fortunate we are out of all the people in the world. How fortunate we are to have what we have. And then, I mean, you could begin to expand that. Did we do the thing with, I might have been at one of the prisons last week, we look at how they talk about precious human birth in Buddhism. So how fortunate we are not to have had some sort of animal birth. And you kind of go through what it's like to live in the ocean, you know, or to be a fish, and you're just looking for something to eat or hoping you don't get eaten, and do that with other types of animals and then other types of people in the world. And you can really get yourself to develop a sense of gratitude for what you have, which we often just overlook, you know. So the idea then is you use the analytical to build up this sense of compassion and gratitude, and then you just kind of hone in on that. You know, the focused meditation gives you an opportunity to kind of really drill in on that and go through, what would that be like, and how lucky are we? And it does. And if you just do your regular breathing meditation then afterwards, you know, and just kind of sit on that feeling, it really lightens things up. And you can carry that with you today. In fact, I'll challenge you for the next 24 hours, every time you get a drink of water, you know, think about that. And just think, wow, how lucky are we to have water? Other thoughts, other ideas about this? Yeah.
How insanely, incredibly lucky we were to be born into circumstances that allowed us to.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Unfortunately, most of the rest of the world.
It is.
Well, it's a time, too. It's a time for almost everybody.
That's right. Yeah, they're not any better.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're so fortunate. And to not spend time thinking about that as a waste. Yes, ma'am.
I think for me, with the
Yeah. Okay. Well, so you can provide a dedication that, you know, you can dedicate that I'm going to work on my own mind so that I can help those people that are suffering in the world, you know. It's a lot of it is, you know, in the planes, they tell you that if the oxygen mask strapped down, make sure you put your own on first before you start helping children and the elderly people, right? Because if you pass out, you can't help anybody else. So, you know, maybe we can give something of ourselves. We can use this as an opportunity to practice more ourselves and develop this sense of compassion so that we can help those people that are less fortunate. It's tricky. You know, it's tricky because you can get too drawn into somebody else's plight, but it paralyzes you. Okay. And that's where maybe you have to kind of back off a little bit. So be careful with that. But you don't want that to happen. That you want it to be a motivation so that you can help people. You know, set an altruistic motivation and dedication. And even if it's nothing more than I'm just going to be grateful that I did win the ovarian lottery, you know, and have some appreciation for that. But you're right, that is tricky. So I don't want it to be uncomfortable for you, but... Yeah.
And so I think about it in terms of how can I be aware of all that I have and value all that I have, and then how can I influence the other people around me? Because, you know, I would love to think that I'm the person that's going to go build wealth and stuff there.
Right. Yeah.
Not.
Well, you can help.
But
right.
You know, I have no clue what the rest of the world is like.
Yeah.
So that's
kind of
how I...
And I also tell you that these people aren't unhappy. You know,
actually no, cuz they did a study where they were doing comparing people from foreign countries that have less I guess like medical, and their immune systems were more developed,
mm-hmm.
they can fight off certain, you know, things.
There's no depression.
We're so used to clear water and stuff, our immune systems don't fight off as much
yeah.
as what theirs would normally fight off.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think maybe Macron in Africa or Latin America or whatever, they might really be really, truly happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The simplicity of their lives. If we can come out right about we've got all this, we've got good water, we've got that amount of stuff.
We've got we've got more depression here than a lot of countries do. And these people aren't, I'm not saying they're all, but I've seen people that drink, that live this way. They're not unhappy. There's some very happy people, with this simplistic thing. They don't have the opportunities we have, but they don't necessarily see that they're missing anything either. Yeah, it all goes to attachment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we put a lot on what we have, but it really doesn't provide us the happiness. That's right. That's right. And Geshe-la says, we've got all of these grocery stores and all of these drug stores and you've got all of these medications and yet we got depression and all this other kind of stuff that doesn't exist in a lot of parts of the world. So, yeah, take it for what that's worth. Don't allow yourself to get too depressed by that, Seriously. The idea is just to develop a sense of gratitude for what we do have. Okay, that's a sticky part, but it's there. So, all right, I've kept everybody over. Does anybody have anything else they want to add? So the homework. Again, try to find yourself some time, block it out, set your motivation, do your meditation, do the dedication. Try the gratitude. Try thinking of things that you have and why you're grateful for that. That's a good analytical one, too, and kind of drill in on, wow, look what I have. I've been trying to do that lately, and it's really pretty pleasant. Think of all the things, just the running water, toilets to flush, books, look at all the books, and just be grateful that we won the ovarian lottery, here we are, and kind of drill in on that, write a little gratitude journal, and then, when you finish doing your meditation, set the dedication, hit the save button, and try to do it again the next day, or a couple times a day if you can get to that. Okay. Be careful going home. Thank you all.